Good morning or good afternoon, whatever time we are in. Thank you so much for your kind invitation once again to share something from the Word of God. And I trust and I pray that if the Lord left us here for 2026, it will be a year of blessing, a year where the Lord will shower his blessings upon all the saints and use each and every one of you for his glory. I was informed that perhaps the subject that we'll take up for a few minutes will be the Christian as a farmer. And that's a wonderful subject. And I would like to turn to some scriptures. And before we turn to some scriptures, perhaps we can look to the Lord for help. I would like to start by turning to the book of Genesis. I'll be reading few selective verses just for us to always understand the mind of God from the original thought of God as far as the book of Genesis, knowing that the book of Genesis is the book of the beginnings. And I want to turn to chapter 1, and the first verse I want to read is verse 28. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish or fill, as new translation would say, and fill the earth and subdue it. Perhaps also from chapter 2 and verse 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it, or to guard it. Please turn with me to Leviticus, the book of Leviticus, and chapter 23, and verse 10. Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when you be come into the land which I give to you, and shall reap the harvest thereof, ye shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest unto the priest. And now a couple of verses from the New Testament, 2 Timothy, of course, chapter 2. 2 Timothy, chapter 2. And what I have in mind is, of course, the husbandman. And the 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 6, the husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Or the new translation would say, the husband must labor first and then partake of the fruits. And perhaps the last reading for now is the book of James, and we'll see from there what the Lord will give us to just dwell a little bit on this wonderful subject. So James chapter 5 and verse 7, be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and has long patience for it, until he receive the early and the latter rain. Thus far in the Word of God. It's like any other truth, I always believe, whatever truth and whatever privilege that we have obtained by the grace of God is always and ultimately to display features of Christ and features of the blessed God. Because when we talk about farming, or when we talk about planting, or the Christian as a farmer, it's very important and imperative to be occupied for a few moments that the blessed God was the first one to plant a garden. In the book of Genesis, the early part where we have read, he planted a garden in Eden. When we follow the pathway of God in planting things, we would also understand that he planted a vineyard. So God is in the business of planting. even to the measure that when we go to 1 Corinthians 15, and then when we discuss the departure and the promotion of the saints to glory, when we are putting them in the grave, as it were, as far as God is concerned, he's planting them. He is planting them to bring something that is more beautiful. It might go not beautiful into the ground, but in light of resurrection, it will be something that is so beautiful to the eyes of God. So God, even in the death of the saints, he is planting them in the ground. So he is a husbandman. And how about the Lord Jesus? The Lord Jesus also is the example of planting and farming. I am reminded that he is the one that could tell us about parables of the good sower. That even the third one, or the second one, when he saw the good seed and the enemy came and planted something that was foreign. And how wonderful it is the Son of Man who was sowing the word of God. Even when we consider Zechariah 13, we will always understand that it is him by way of expression. He said, I am not a prophet, but a husbandman, because his work as a farmer and his work on the cross, the taker away of the sin, he was going to take sin from its roots. And how wonderful to be able to emulate, dear saints of God, the blessed God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the scripture tells us in Ephesians chapter 5, be ye imitators of God as beloved children. So we have a sense of responsibility to reflect our blessed God and Father. But we also have the responsibility to learn of the Lord Jesus. Learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart. And the Lord Jesus is the only standard of the Christian. There is no other standard. The brethren are not our standard. No one, as far as I'm concerned, and as far as the Christian should be concerned, that we have standards other than Christ Jesus. If we love, love ye one another as I have loved you. Whosoever keepeth this hope within him, he will be pure as I am pure. So the standard is Christ, and how wonderful to be able to imitate the blessed God and the Lord Jesus. So when it comes to farming, with the scriptures that we have put together, we will understand that the first feature of Adam was a fourfold, but I just want to dwell on two, because I don't want to go into the soldier or into the aspect of what does it mean to be a soldier. That I'm going to leave it to the brother assigned to it, but I would say this in passing as far as Genesis is concerned. Genesis is concerned is that Adam had the responsibility to fill the earth. And when we talk about farming, it is something that was always in the Old Testament to fill the barn. Habakkuk speaks, if the barns are empty. It was built in purpose so that it can be filled with the corn and with the wine and with all the things in the day of the harvest. And how wonderful to be able to think that when God is using his own to farm, he has in mind to replenish the earth or to fill something and to fill the barns. And dear saints of God, I wonder, first of all, if we can take hold of the truth that the husbandman or the farmer must labor first. It's about labor. Sometimes we are living in the days of taking things easy. We want things to be filled up. We want assemblies to be filled. We want halls to be filled. And we are sitting and doing nothing. And yet we are ready to open scriptures and to talk about them. But the farmer is one that labor. Farmer, that one that works very hard. And as we will see certain features, the farmer is one that is patient, that can endure. The farmer is a one that can sow and reap. The farmer is a one that, as far as Psalm 126, he can sow in tears. We'll come to all these features. But the first feature that we can see about Adam is that he should till it, he should fill it, he should guard it, he should subdue it. This is the aspect of the earth and all what his responsibility was in relationship to the ground, he should till it. And the thought of he should guard it, means that he should be watchful against enemies. So even in the day of innocence, God has informed Adam somehow that there is something that you need to guard. Why? Because there is an enemy desires to destroy everything that has to do with the testimony of the blessed God. Anytime Satan could hinder something that will glorify God, trust me, dear saints, we all know it, he will do his best to do so. So the reality of guarding was to keep it, was to watch it. And that's part also of the farmer, that we guard things. And the reason we guard things, because when we plant something, you can rest assured that there is the enemy that is creeping in to destroy it. And this is what we learn in Matthew 13. As I said earlier, the parable that the Lord Jesus said, sometimes the Lord Jesus planted something good, the enemy will come and plant something with the tear. And the reality of it is the first thing that I learn, that I'm responsible for the ground. I'm responsible to maintain it, but I'm responsible to guard it. So the first feature I would like to suggest to the brethren of farmer is to be diligent. When we are planting something, to be diligent and watchful over it, because we understand from the word of God, from the first pages of the scripture, that you should guard it. But you also should subdue it. And the subduing is a work of a soldier, and I will leave it to the brother. But that tells me one thing that is so evident, that the Satan was there to destroy what God has brought to fruition. So this is the first couple of pages in the book of Genesis for us to understand that God's mind as far as Adam is to maintain, to be a farmer, to till the ground and to guard it. And how wonderful to be able to see that. So what is these features of farming? We said that the first feature is that we are prepared to guard things. And certainly, dear saints of God, we are living in the last and closing days. And it's worth it to contend for the faith once delivered unto the saints. I know it's a military aspect of thing, and that's not my subject, but we need to guard the things that has been delivered unto our hands. We are living in 2025 where it is so easy for us to give up, so easy to compromise, so easy to say, well, these principles that we have gained from older faithful brethren, they don't belong to us in the days we're living in. And as a farmer, and all what was planted into us and into the saints of God, the first feature is that we must guard it. I read something from Leviticus 23. My subject is not the wonderful feast of Jehovah, but one could say in passing that there was this feast of the first fruits that one was prepared to bring first to God. And certainly that as a farmer, it is my responsibility, or it is my vision, that if God will use me in a farming way, it is for his glory and delight first. Sometimes we become so much occupied with what we are doing that we like to see the fruit of our planting so that somehow it will cultivate within us a sense of pride or a sense of boasting that all these things has been done through me, that God used me, and look at the outcome of it. I think that's a wrong vision. It will be said if a believer would think in that direction. But the first fruit in the book of Leviticus was that if you are a farmer and God has blessed you in so many ways, you bring that which is first obtained from the harvest and you bring it to the Lord himself. Yes, that speaks of wonderful resurrection. How wonderful to see that this feast and the following feast, the Pentecost, the first day is the prominent day. God was telling us from the book of Leviticus that there is a day coming, the first day of the week, that will be the day of the Lord. I was in the spirit on the Lord's day. But that's not the subject. I say it in passing. But as a farmer, I have to be occupied, that whatever I do, I have to bring it to God. I have to bring it for the glory of God. I have to honor God in whatever planting, in whatever watering will come to these features as well when it comes to other scriptures. When you come to Psalm 126, I said it in passing, but I really believe it's worth taking some thoughts about it. That the scripture tells us, he that sows in tears shall reap in joy. And sometimes we have to recognize that the work of planting is not an easy work. Sometimes it requires tears, sleepless nights. Sometimes we are watching day and night for the Lord to open the heaven and pour the rain, as it were, his blessings upon it. But you plant in tears. And I wonder, dear brethren, if we are farmers that are dealing with planting the word of God, not only in souls that are unsaved, but also planting the word of God in the heart of the saints of God. And when you are planting something in relationship to individuals that are far from the Lord, sometimes it's you are planting in tears, in sorrow. Tears in the scripture are very prominent when one recognizes the condition that we are in. We can speak much about the blessed Lord Jesus. He wept when he saw the condition of Jerusalem. We can speak about the tears of Paul. We can speak about the tears of Timothy. We can speak about Nehemiah when he got the report that the walls are down and the gates are burnt, that he just wept and mourned and prayed and fasted. These are elements that also apply to farming, that sometimes I am sowing in tears. The conflict that is before us sometimes dealing with souls and planting the word of God to bring adjustment cause you to weep sometimes. It causes you to enter into certain feelings where you are planting in tears. But the end result is always wonderful. That if you are planting, you shall reap in joy. How wonderful, dear saints of God, when we plant the seed, when we plant the word of God, and the Spirit of God will do his marvelous work in the soul, and we will witness how a person changed. We will witness how a person changed direction, repented, and went back, going back to God. It's like the prodigal that the father's waiting for him. And when he came back, he covered his neck with kisses. So how wonderful, dear saints of God, to recognize that in the planting, sometimes there are tears with it. But God is gracious. And I have to say that when we are talking about this, maybe I should jump into the next feature, because God, from the beginning of Genesis, throughout all the scripture, he always speaks about fruitfulness. Even the disciple, the Lord Jesus spoke about discipleship, that if ye shall bear fruits, ye shall be my disciples. And the laborer and the farmer that labors, he should labor first. But always, fruitfulness is connected with farming. We said Leviticus 23 and many scriptures in the book of Deuteronomy, when you bring your corn and your wine and all these things that you have planted, the vineyard that causes the wine and the corn and all the things that you have planted. So there is a fruit in the work of farming. But what I want to suggest that sometimes we become occupied that I want to see the fruit. Allow me to say that for me to see the fruit is none of my business. The fruit always in the sight of God. But God sees the fruit. And that's why he is faithful. I certainly believe that there are saints that are so faithful when they stand before judgment seat of Christ. There might be rewards given to them for all the fruits that they have brought to the glory of God. We don't want to be occupied with witnessing fruit. It would be nice sometimes, there's no question. God would allow it sometimes to give us a sense of encouragement. But God is always careful. Even in the case of the Apostle Paul, with the measure of revelation that he received, that when we go to 2 Corinthians 12, that he received the thorn in the flesh, the Lord wants us to always be humble. He always wants us to recognize that it is not for me to see fruits, not for me to have a sense of boastfulness, but to come under what Paul came under. My grace is sufficient for you. So let's not be occupied with the fruits that I'm going to generate as God is using me. Let the fruits be seen by God. And if he desire in his own sovereign way to show the fruit to us, then we are thankful, and by the grace of God to remain humble, because that work is done none other by divine persons. It's not done by men. It's always to be reminded that without me, you can do nothing. And as I was thinking of these things before I go into 2 Timothy 2 and James 5, I was thinking of this. What is entailed in farming? It is the word of God in two aspects. When Paul was somehow rebuking the Corinthians when they became sectarian, I am for Paul, I am for Apollos, I am for Cephas, and I am for Christ. Wow, and I am for Christ. But they became in the spirit of sectarianism. And Paul explains it in such a beautiful way. He said, I plant and Apollos watereth. What we can do is just bring the word of God and plant it. So the word of God has this two effect. It's planted with the hope that will bring a change in the soul. But also the word of God is a source of refreshment. So the seed needs water. We'll come to it. I didn't want to jump about seed and water until we go to James chapter 5. But the reality of it, if I can just touch a little bit on the refreshment side, how wonderful for the farmer to be able to bring refreshment. But he states it very well, but it is the Lord that bringeth the increase. If there will be fruit by my labor as a farmer, it is by the power of the Spirit of God, and it is the Lord himself will bring the increase. Not by might, not by power, but by Spirit, said the Lord. Brethren, we need to maintain this principle in our own souls, because we all have the tendency. I have it. Every single saint have it. We have the tendency because of our old nature and what we have inherited from our great, great, great father, Adam. We all have the tendencies to really have this boastful way about things. And how wonderful to see it is the Lord that gives the increase. It is the Spirit of God that does the work. Everything from a divine perspective, this way man is completely set aside. And yet, God is faithful. He is a rewarder of them that will honor him. I will honor them that will honor me. And dear saints, how wonderful to be able to trust in the living God, that he's no man's debtor. All we have to do is be faithful farmers. Farming, you know, for many people, it's very easy. But to do it in a faithful spirit, trustworthy spirit, that is something that will delight the heart of God. So when we go to 2 Timothy chapter 2, you would see that the farmer must labor first. So we spoke about laboring. And then he shall partake of the fruit. If the fruit is seen, let me encourage my dear brethren that you will be partaker of the fruit, whether here or whether in glory. And sometimes, and most of the times, if it is carried in faithfulness, You'll partake from it on earth and in glory. God will bring us to enter into how the Spirit used you and me to bring fruit for his own glory. The Apostle Paul, when he spoke about giving and supporting, as it were, he says, one that planted a vineyard can eat from it, can enjoy the result of it. And Paul could look into so many people that were the fruit of his labor of love, and how wonderful that he can partake from it. He can enjoy and be satisfied. It's like the Lord Jesus, he shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. How wonderful that God will give us the spirit of satisfaction, that whatever we have done for him, whatever work of farming we have obtained, whatever things that we have labored, and dear brethren, I cannot say labored, because there are people that have labored. Ephesus and Revelation, they labored, but they didn't labor in love as the Thessalonians. The labor of love, to be able to do it with the motive of love, and to be able to do it for the glory of God, yet God, in his wonderful, merciful way, would allow us to be partakers of that fruit that he used us to bring forth. So, dear saints of God, how wonderful to be able to thank God for this privilege. I'm thinking, as I said earlier, to emulate divine persons in planting things for their delight and pleasure. And you would say to yourself, why would God just use us? I mean, he can say the word and it will be done. I mean, does God need us? Paul speaks about this blessed, gracious God, that he wants us to be co-laborers with him. He wants us to be participants with him. He can say the word and it's done. And sometimes it's like what the Lord Jesus told his disciples in the Gospel of John, that you have entered into the harvest, into the field that you had nothing to do with sowing. You are reaping it, but you had nothing to do with the sowing. And God sometimes brings us into this wonderful field that other faithful brethren have reaped, and we are gaining the benefit of it. God is sovereign, God is gracious, God is merciful, and he will do things that is above our thinking, because that's what God, to me, to think that God wants me to be a participant with him. And that principle was seen in the life of the Lord Jesus. When he fed the multitude, it was so easy that he took, you know, 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes, and he gave thanks that this food, like the manna, will fall by everywhere, by every person. Men, and it says, without, that's not counting the woman and the children, but when he prayed, and he is the God of all miracles, he could have put all the fish and bread to fall by every person. But the scripture uniquely would say that he gave it to his disciples and the disciples gave it to them. He wants us to participate with him in this wonderful divine work that he is doing. And I'm thinking of John 21. How amazing the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that when they were toiling all night and then they throw the net and there's 153 good fish. And when they came up and they saw the Lord, the scripture says very, very clearly that there was fish already on the coast. The Lord Jesus had his own fish. He doesn't, but he says, bring of thy fish. To think that God, in his wonderful way, in his grace, that he wants me to participate with him, it is something that we can never fathom, but it is reality because the word of God said it. And when I go to the book of James, I will understand a couple of more things that relates to farming, that is in relationship to what I touched a little bit in 1 Corinthians as far as the watering is concerned. Brethren, we can labor much, but if the Lord is not going to add his blessing with the rain, the early and the latter. I like the early and the latter, that it is, to me, reminds me of from the beginning to end. Yes, there are many thoughts. I don't want to discuss all these thoughts about early rain, latter day rain, but just that God will add his blessing from beginning to end. He that began a good work will also perform it. He's able to perform it. I am the Alpha and the Omega. That's his word. I am the beginning and the end. That's his work. I am the first and the last. That's his person. He will shower the early rain and the latter rain. He will bless the work as long as we are relying upon the blessed God and recognizing our nothingness. It is God in his own power who is going to use us to farm, to plant the seed, to labor, to participate, to partake, to guard, all these wonderful features. And he will add his blessing, and that's the rain. We wait patiently. We don't give up. When we don't see the fruit of the labor, we don't give up. I say it very, very, very reverently. The Lord in the book of Isaiah said, I have labored in vain. But as a man, he entered into how we feel sometimes. That, you know, we feel that, you know, everything we do in the assembly and everything we do, we are laboring in vain. But, oh, God made sure that his work was never in vain. It brought blessing upon billions of people. And dear saints of God, allow the blessed God to shower his blessings upon all what you are planting. You don't have to do it your way. Sometimes I think with saints of God, we get so much occupied of how elegant I have to be and the language I have to use and all these details that will go through my mind to impress, sometimes not to impress anyone but the brethren. Oh, we all have this wonderful, wonderful principle, I trust, that we're not here to please men. I'm here to please the Lord. Whatever the Spirit of God will give me, one should bring forth. Please, let's not be occupied with ourselves and how elegant I need to be and what kind of large and heavy words I should use. Let us just in simplicity cast ourselves upon the Lord to use us. He will bring his blessings in the early and the latter rain. He will make what was planted to grow. And how wonderful to be able to see that the farmer is a patient man, is a patient man. Why is patience so important in the scripture? So important. We learn it even from the Lord Jesus. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. Despising the shame. He endured the cross. Patience and endurance are from the same root word, and it comes from this word that we all know it, but it's always good to be reminded of it. I always say and remind especially the young people that these three words are always into two Greek compound words brought together. The obedience, the submitting or submission, and endurance. One that when it comes to submission is to get under. Under what? Under the authority of the Lord. Obedience is to learn under. That as long as I'm under the authority of the Lord, I'm learning. And the greatest lesson that the believer have is none other but the Lord Jesus, who has declared, learn of me. But endurance is much needed. Because that pathway of faith, that pathway of farming is not easy. And it requires patience. It requires to endure. And endurance is the third word that means to stay under. Brethren, if I can say a word that I trust out of all the things we have spoken, that you will never forget this one. Don't give up. Don't give up. It's we're living in a time where many have given up. They have given up the truth. And I'm not talking about believers that, as it were, gave up on the Lord, turned their back, like Demas, loved this present evil age, the world. I'm not talking about these individuals. I'm talking about people that are laboring, that are farming, that are planting. And sometimes you might get resistance. Sometimes you might feel this times of aloneness, just like David. You know, they want to stone him. And the scripture says he encouraged or he strengthened himself in Jehovah. Endurance is so important in the life of the farmer, is not to give up. Just imagine that the farmer, he doesn't see the rain yet, and he will give up on everything that he planted, and he will just go and till it all out and whatever he wants to do. Everything will be done in vain. And dear saints of God, because of Christ, nothing will be in vain. For your labor in the Lord is not in vain. As long we have the right perspective before us, the right object before me, and the right glory going to him, not toward you and me. So brethren, let's endure. Don't give up. Might be 2 or 3. Might be 10. It might be 5. It might be 100. I don't know the number. I'm not occupied with numbers. You know what? Sometimes we have to be satisfied with our situation, not the condition, but with our situation in numbers. God said, when Moses was blessing, I believe, he said, let Reuben be few. Let Reuben be few. So the reality of it is God sometimes allowed it for us to be few. And it's a test that, yes, you are farming. Yes, you are a soldier. Yes, you are a runner. Yes, yes, yes to every privilege that God has given us. But the test will come is under the hardship or under pressure, are you going to give up? So I trust, dear saints of God, that we will never give up and will always be dependent upon the blessed God. So there are many other thoughts about farming. Just I feel that this is what the Spirit of God has given me, is to be occupied from the beginning, that God had every intention to bring this feature into the life of a man like Adam. But of course, with the failure of Adam, all these privileges or all these works that he has done or was supposed to be done, now we can do in a spiritual, moral way for the glory of God and for the magnifying of the Lord Jesus. And if I want to close with a couple of words, brethren, we always say it, and I believe that this is one of the most important thing to me in the scripture. To always, as I opened up, I want to close. That whatever God had in mind, it is with a single purpose, that we might be conformed into the image of his Son. I cannot say it enough. There are people that labor, like the assembly to Ephesus in Revelation. They labored, they knew, they did everything. Those that are not Jewish, those that are not, you know, they didn't like the work of the Nicolaitans and all these things, wonderful. But with the evaluation of God, there was the lack of being transformed into the image of the Lord Jesus. As we will behold him, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we shall be changed from glory to glory. Dear brethren, let us not be occupied with ourselves. Let us not be occupied with the brethren. Let us be occupied with him, because he will be the one that will use us as farmers to plant, above all, the word of God, the love of God, in the hearts of souls that don't know him, but also as a farmer that we can feed the household. And how wonderful to declare that once the farmer get the gain of the food, because the farmer is a partaker, all what they farm in the fields becomes the food of the saints of God. And dear brethren, let us, by the help of the Lord, try to give this food in season. If I want to be like the Lord Jesus, when we read of him in the book of Isaiah, chapter 50, I believe, that he will speak a word to the weary. And when the Lord Jesus spoke the word, it was always in season. And for you and for me to be able to bring out of this farming business something for, yes, for the glory of God, but also to be able to feed the saints of God, it is something that should cause us to be joyful, not to feel burdened, not to feel, nobody's getting anything. Just speak the word. My dear brother, speak the word. Plant the seed and let the Spirit of God do his work. So may the Lord help us that even with such a privilege of farming, that we can be conformed into the image of the Lord Jesus, of how he planted things and how in wisdom he would say, let them grow together, and how he will come to a point where reaping will take place. And if I may close with this word, whatsoever a man sow, he shall also reap. In farming, I understand there is God's government. And brethren, this is something that we all cry to God to be merciful upon us, because one can feel it. I can feel it personally. I deserve God's government in judgment because of foolish things that we have done in life. But if you sow into the flesh, you would reap it. If you sow into the Spirit, you would reap it as well. God's government is real, dear saints of God. Let's not give up. Let's be faithful. Let's not fall into the hand of the living God in judgment. It's a fearful thing as far as Hebrews is concerned. And when God deals in his government, one can ask and seek his mercy and his kindness and his forgiveness. I'm always reminded, we spoke it before, you probably heard me saying that before, you know, God, when in his government, he comes back at the person in his right timing, his timing, not my timing. When Pharaoh wanted to kill all the children, young boys, in the water, the time came when he destroyed Pharaoh and the Egyptians in the water. This is how God works. When Jacob cheated Isaac with killing a sacrifice, the time came. He was sowing this, and he shall reap. His children came back and cheated him with the death of Joseph by killing a sacrifice. Haman, when he had these gallows for Mordecai and the Jewish people, if you would, the time came where God in his government said, okay. He was hanged on that gallows and his sons. How about the believers again? David, if his words were few when Nathan the prophet came and told him that simple, clear story. But David was quick to say, this man should pay four times. God's government came and made David pay four times. Four of his children died. So, dear saints, there is a privilege with farming, and there is a responsibility with it. So may the Lord, in his mercy and goodness, use these few words that to encourage us to do it for the glory of God, to be just these simple farmers in the hand of a great and mighty God, to use us in whatsoever way he wants us, to plant things for his delight, to plant things in season, to feed the people of God, and to trust him for all the fruit that he sees, whether here or he might let us be partakers of it up there in glory. I just want to thank you once again for this wonderful occasion. It's so nice to be able to discuss the Word of God, and one will trust and hope that we can do it face to face. But if we didn't see each other here on earth, we definitely will see each other there in glory. I'm going to close in a word of prayer.